Now, this word language can be used in two senses, a literal sense and a metaphorical sense. We say, or some of our friends say, friends from abroad, English is a very difficult language. So here the word is used in the literal sense. But we also say, I don't get on with him very well. He doesn't seem to speak my language. So here the word language is used metaphorically. Now the Mahayana tries to speak different languages, not only in the literal sense, but also in the metaphorical sense. And with this consideration, we start passing from this week's lecture to next week's lecture, from the universal perspective of the Mahayana to the drama of cosmic enlightenment. Now, in the course of our communication with one another, in the course of human communication, we have recourse principally to two languages. First of all, there's the language of concepts, of abstract ideas. And secondly, there's the language of images. The first language, the language of concepts, is the language of the intellect, of rational thought and rational discourse. It's the language of science and philosophy. But the second, the language of images, is the language of the imagination, the language of the emotions. It's the language of poetry. It's the language of myth, symbolism, parable, simile, metaphor, and so on. The first, the language of concepts, is addressed to the conscious mind. But the second, the language of images, addresses itself, appeals to the unconscious depths that are within us all, and to which modern psychology calls attention. Now, the Buddha himself spoke, as it were, both languages. Sometimes he expounded his Dharma, his teaching, in a highly abstract, rigidly intellectual fashion. And sometimes, again, he spoke in beautiful parables and similes and metaphors. We've got the parable of the raft, the parable of the blind men and the elephant, the parable of the ever-smouldering anthill, and 100 others. Now, the Hinayana, in the course of its development, in the course of its history, tended to speak more and more exclusively in the language of concepts. It adopted a sort of scientific language, we may say, and it dropped the language of images. It banished poetry, and it eschewed metaphor. Take, for example, the Abhidhamma literature of the Theravadins, 7 massive works, some of them in many volumes, psychological analysis, classification of mental states, description of mental functions, and so on, all in severely technical conceptual style. And it's the proud boast of the Abhidhamma that in all those thousands of pages of literature, there's not a single figure of speech. They've banished every single one. But the Mahayana, on the other hand, the Mahayana continued to speak both languages. Language of concepts, language of images. And it spoke them ever more and more effectively. And this is exemplified by the Mahayana Sutras. In other words, the scriptures of the Mahayana. There are many hundreds of these scriptures, and as we have only a few minutes left, I'm going to mention only a few of the most important and then conclude.